Okay, we are live. Welcome to the Embodiment of Soul Care podcast. My name is Casey, and this is my co-host, Kelly, my beautiful sister-in-law. And tonight, we are so excited. We are continuing our special guest series, and tonight our guest is my dear friend, Greg Gonzalez. We're so excited to have him on the show. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom and your energy with us tonight. We're so pleased. Greg Yes. is the founder of Joyful Living. He's a mindfulness trainer, a book producer. We'll get into that a little bit later. And a joy coach. He helps you discover your inner joy, your inner source of joy. He has been dubbed the Firestarter, Mr. Joy, and I'm sure many, many other things. So perhaps by the end of the podcast, Kelly, you can come up with your own nickname. And
oh, I'm sure I will.
Listening to this. Feel free to share them in the comments below.
This is a kid-friendly show, right?
Yeah.
So before we continue, we're going to take our ceremonious drink. Please raise a glass. If you're at home listening to this, watching this, please grab your favorite beverage and take a deep breath. Take a nice long sip.
Did you say there was gin in yours?
A little bit. I had to go with the pink again, the pink tonic, the splash of gin.
Well, it just complements your rose poster.
Thank you. How about you, my dear? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Glenlivet 12 whiskey with a little bit of Irish whiskey.
Dang.
And Greg is on a detox.
I got both you. I got both y'all beat.
I'm drinking He's trying to black show coffee. Us up.
The strongest available. It's
he's detoxing.
I am in detoxing mode, so the black coffee is helping purge the system. And honestly, I would drink coffee all day if I could. It has no major effect on me, but I have a feeling with the two of you, I'm going to need it. So
yeah, well, I'm thinking that a lot of people will start a detox after this show.
They may need like just a brain de-cleanse. Like, how do I forget all of that?
How do I forget everything that those people just said to me?
I'll never get that time
exactly.
back.
Exactly. So, Greg, we're going to throw it to you here. We want you to intro yourself a little bit, give a little bit of your bio. Tell us what you're up to so that we can dive into it deeper and deeper.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, ladies, for having me on. I'm super, super, super excited to be on. I think of my work as kind of a lifelong journey to connecting with people. I discovered this passion of connecting pretty early on. It really came to me in middle school when I was asked to be a peer counselor. And I thought initially it was a great way to get out of fourth period. What it turned out to be was a door that opened to show me what it means to be present for people, to listen to people, and to provide a very meaningful service to people. I would have friends who would book appointments with me to share pieces of their life that, you know, in seventh, eighth grade, you don't think kids go through. But when you've got friends of yours who you know talking about taking their own life or taking someone else's life or talking about how they want to run away and that they don't matter, it was pretty amazing how just providing space for people to talk at that early age was something that I felt not only was there a need, but it was something that I actually felt that I was pretty good at. So I think that all throughout my professional life, whether it was in management, whether it was as a trainer, consultant, small business owner, it's always been about the connections that I've been able to build with people. And whether it was hiring, whether it was in partnership, whether it was in building a client base, it's always been about connection. So I think about the, 35 plus years of my professional life as being centered around that. And now with Joyful Living, because I made the conscious decision to work for myself, to do work that was authentic and genuine to who I was, I wanted it to be something that I could provide a service to people that has the ability to expand. And in a weird coincidental way, I actually thought about it in 2018 as like a contagion, like a virus of spreading joy that could be felt not just with one person, but have that person spread it to the next person they encounter and so on and so on. So I think that's really the mission of what I'm trying to do, is to kind of be the anti-COVID, especially now where we need just a little bit of, you know, positivity, but connection. I think there's just so much disconnection right now, both physically and spiritually, that my goal is to help reconnect.
Wow. I really like that a lot. You know, I think I couldn't agree more. I think that in this whole pandemic we've lost connection with people, but by losing the connection with people, everybody have had to dive deeper into themselves, and then they realize how disconnected they actually are with themselves. So I think by journaling and by having, you know, a service like you provide for people, it allows them to reconnect in a very deep way to themselves and right. find that piece of joy that they've been looking for. So I just I have a question about journaling. How do you recommend that people journal without getting caught up in their story so much that the story, you know, in a sense overtakes them and they're reliving it and they're in this depression mode for weeks and days? Because I mean, I deal with clients all the time that, you know, I'm trying to constantly get them out of that stage too, but I never thought of journaling as a way for them to do it. Instead I'm just moving a lot of energy around. But how do you suggest through journaling for them to purge that, but be positive about the purge?
I think journaling for people who are dealing with different emotions, whether it be bouts of depression, it could just be anxiety, it could just be just feeling stuck. I think that just the act of putting it down and expressing yourself openly, honestly, and as raw as you can possibly be is a good thing, because the great thing about journaling is that it's personal. You know, there's no, I always have to remind people, like, you're not being graded for content. This is not, you know, we're not going to be grading. We're not going to be making the page bleed through spelling errors, you know, like my English teacher would say. I think that for at least during my bouts of struggle, when I've had the ability to just express myself through journaling, through writing, it adds a permanence to it, but it also for me is a release by putting it on paper. And it doesn't really, sometimes it comes in just, you know, bits and pieces and I'm just kind of downloading and it just doesn't make sense. But sometimes it could just be words. It could just be bullet points. And that's the beauty of journaling, is that people use it for different means. So content wise, what you're putting down is really insignificant to what you're putting down. The quality of what you're doing versus the quantity of what you're doing to me is what's important. So I think that for people who kind of get into that rut of just, I'm just dumping, you know, when I look at my books, it's just like, who is this person? You know, it's like, that's who you were at that moment. That was you showing up raw and honest and authentic and just putting yourself down on paper. And so I think that for people to be able to go back and revisit that and to use it as a learning tool, okay, what did I learn from that? How have I grown from this experience? I think journaling gives you the opportunity to go back and reflect in a really awesome way, even if it is just, you're just spewing what just seems to you, just like you're just brain dumping and just pouring your heart out. And it's like, it's all just negative and icky and gross, but it's out, you know? And that's really what my work is about. It's about getting your story out. Don't keep it inside, you know? I just thought of that Melissa Manchester song, "Don't Cry Out Loud." I just suddenly had that lyric come into my head. Don't keep it inside, you know?
That's great.
I go,
I wish I had a lighter.
And I'm not even the one drinking. This thing had Bailey's in it. So I think that utilizing journaling is a means of self-expression that is extremely helpful and healthy.
Okay, so So when somebody puts down like, this is how I was feeling and this, or this is how I currently am feeling and I'm dealing with this situation, they're writing it and they're writing it and they're writing it. Do you suggest upon writing that story out that they then rewrite a positive story to allow the flow of energy to go from that negative vibration of what they're putting down on the paper into mm-hmm. a more positive vibration so that they're leaving the page with, okay, so cueing in at bad and exiting at good, you know, and having that space then surrounding them where it's like, okay, I just put down everything that I can't stand about this situation, but then I went back and I wrote everything that I can stand about it and all the things that are beautiful about it and how it's going to change and how it's going to become better. Like, do you suggest that in the writing?
I think that if somebody okay. has that ability to put on that different hat
right.
in that moment, go for it. Because I think that just provides so much more clarity to mm-hmm. what it is that you're dealing with. I think for some people that I've talked to who are in a certain mindset of expression within journaling, that sometimes they have to just get it out and then mm-hmm. close their book and walk away.
Right.
And give it some time and space mm-hmm. and to go back and then reflect on it. And then maybe write from a different perspective and say, okay, is this who I am? Is that really the person
right.
who
key
I
right
am?
There? Yes.
Yeah. So I think that if you can do it in that moment as you're putting it all down and then being able to pause and say, okay, I'm going to now mm-hmm. write this from a different point of view, mm-hmm. the same story, but from a different positive angle.
Right.
I think that's like advanced self mm-hmm. Awareness and mm-hmm. and care, because you having that ability, I think is a skill. I think most right. people though would need to just get it out, put it aside, and then come back to it and then reflect. But mm-hmm. I think as many perspectives as you can take is going to then bring you to a more centered awareness of, okay, which story is true? Which one
right.
is true to who mm-hmm. I am?
Right.
In that moment, that anger and that fear and that frustration and all that sadness, that was you, mm-hmm. you know? But does that define you? It can be where you were in that moment, but does that define you going forward? So I right. think that's the power of journaling, is that you can go back and ask yourself,
yeah.
is this who I am?
And that's a huge part right there. Cause Casey and I talk about that all the time, you know, the detachment idea, you know, detaching yourself from what you thought you were, who you think you actually are, detaching yep. yourself from that and realizing the true depths of who you truly are. And I think that journaling is such a beautiful way to do that. Especially like you said, if you can implement in while you're journaling, the positive affirmation that yep. follows the negative, and making sure that, you know, you do separate the mind from the spirit within your writing, you know, okay, I'm being totally controlled right now by my mind. And now I'm going to let my spirit talk.
Right.
You know, in the healing process of that.
A tool that I
use
a lot that I think is really useful, especially in talking about this specific mm-hmm. area of journaling, is a really great acronym that I love to share. That's really simple to remember, but it ties right into what we're talking about. And the word is RAIN. And so RAIN is an acronym that really is a pathway through really navigating through difficult emotions. To me, I see it as just a great way to understand stress and to navigate through stress. Mm-hmm. So in that situation, what I would say to that person who maybe isn't able to put on that second hat right away
right.
is to use the RAIN acronym. And so RAIN stands for recognition, mm-hmm. acceptance, mm-hmm. investigation, and non-identification.
Oh, love it. Okay.
So when you go through each of those steps, you're recognizing that there's a problem. Okay, I'm angry or I'm sad. Mm-hmm. The acceptance piece is I accept the cause of what brought this on. Mm-hmm. It's not that I need to accept it and be happy about it. I just accept the fact it is what it is.
Right.
Nothing's going to change it. You know, what's done is done. I accept it. Then the next piece I think is really key, and that's the investigation. And the investigation piece is where you tap into, what does this stress feel like? Mm-hmm. How am I manifesting it? Is it something that I'm, can I put a name on it? Is it fear? Is it sadness? Is it anxiety? Is it anger?
Right.
Where is it manifesting in my body? Is it back pain? Is it neck pain? Am I getting headaches? Am I, you know, shortness of breath? Mm-hmm. The more that you can investigate what is causing that, then leads you to the last piece of RAIN, which is non-identification. And that is really where you get down to, is this who I am?
Right.
Is this my truth? And there's a much wider definition that I go into when I talk about it, but really it's something that I think allows people to take a, we talked before about perspective. It really forces you to take a step outside of yourself, mm-hmm. to look at the situation from a couple of different angles, which that in and of itself is help providing clarity, because we get so narrow focused and, you know, we create this bubble around ourselves. Like, I'm angry. I'm angry. I'm angry. Leave me alone. Right. I'm angry. As opposed to, okay, I'm angry. I accept that I'm angry because I know why I'm angry. Have I investigated what this anger feels like? And now I need to ask myself, is this who I am? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be who I'm going to define myself as? So RAIN, I think, and I like the idea that RAIN falls equally on all things.
Yes.
So I see it as a great way to, as a cleansing mechanism for when we're dealing with stress. So in that journaling exercise, like we're talking about, that would be a great time for someone who's not able to switch roles like that right away.
Right.
To utilize that tool.
Yeah. That's a very good tool.
And Greg, go ahead and tell Kelly and, you know, everyone listening to this about your Conversations Worth Having program, in which journaling serves, you know, because we're kind of talking about getting your story out or whatever, but he has this really great program where he's, you know, basically guiding journaling through different questions and different topics, so that, because sometimes you sit down and it's like, you don't know what to write about. And that stops people from journaling, because it's like, well, I don't know. You kind of sit and maybe you don't want to tell your story. You know, sometimes you're like, I don't want to go through that stuff, but maybe you can't generate something to write about or something to really spark your creativity or your interest or your insightfulness for yourself, or, you know, reflection or looking forward in your life, and, or just in the present moment where you're at right now. So you have, you know, a really beautiful way of guiding people through that, where journaling can serve another purpose, and then they can also connect with others. So why don't you talk about where that came from?
Yeah. Conversations Worth Having is really bringing a couple of different energies to my work together. So you have the interpersonal work, where every week I send out 5 questions, and these questions cover everything from reflection questions, aspirations, relationships, purpose, beliefs. So you get these 5 questions at the beginning of the week, and those are for you to journal on your own. And I like the idea of providing something to write about, because I think when I talk to people about their journaling experience, so many people will say, just like what you said, I got this brand new, beautiful journal book, and I've got this great pen, and I'm looking at this blank page, and it's like, nothing's coming to me. And then they just, they collect books. I've got all these great books. Or they start to write and they're like, oh, that's stupid. And they put it aside and don't look at it again.
Right.
But I think that when you're given a question that is personal, but open, insightful, but comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not asking questions that is meant to pull out dirty laundry. I'm about raising your frequency. I'm about having you do some deep, I think of it as spiritual archaeology. And I'm asking you to dig a little deep, to bring about answers to questions that, there isn't a question out of my hundreds and hundreds of questions that either one of you and any person on this earth does not know the answer to. Because I firmly believe that we all know the answers to every question
Everything.
We have.
Right.
We just need to make the time, the intentional time, to sit with it and to really ponder our answer. So that's kind of what this is providing you these questions to journal. But then at the kind of middle to end of the week, I put together a Zoom call for my participants to voluntarily jump on. And we, as a group, answer these questions in a sense of community is what I'm trying to build. So it's this shared experience where people will bring in their journals, they'll respond with the answers they wrote. I love it when people come in and they're like, I've been reflecting on these questions, but I didn't write anything down, but I'm just going to speak it. It's like you come as you are. You know, right. Again, I'm not grading your journal. I'm not asking to see, you know, did you do your homework?
Oh, come on, grade it.
But what's great about it is that you get both. You get that one-on-one time to really reflect on these questions for yourself. Right. But then the shared experience of hearing each other's answers. Mm-hmm. Like, I could ask Kelly, how do you define joy?
Right.
And Casey wrote her answer, and she's like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of it that way. So we learn so much about each other in these sessions that we understand how connected we are around these central themes of love and joy and peace and values and beliefs. And that's really, you called it. Our special guest.
That's our special guest. Lucy. Lucy's here.
Lucy.
She wants to be on the Zoom call.
I love it.
Lou.
I have to say, you know, I mean, I've joined, I've been part of the program for what, maybe 4 weeks now. And I've been on the calls and I'm not someone who journals, you know, I mean, it's been a really long time. I used to, and then, you know, now it's kind of more just like my notes for the podcast was the extent of my journaling. And I've really enjoyed getting back into it. And I do like the questions, because I think aside from that, maybe that was part of my block, is that I do so much, you know, spiritual and personal development work, but it didn't necessarily call to me to write it down unless I have like a really big insight and I just don't want to forget it. But I've really enjoyed these questions. Like, for example, I'll just give you one example, and it's the most basic one, Greg, that you've even asked in your work over the years through all the meetups you've done and all the groups that you've done and all the courses that you've taught. And it's, how do you define joy? And it was a really beautiful question. Number one, I started to realize I don't even think about the word joy. And then since I met you, I mean, joy is just popping up everywhere. It's like now on my radar. I mean, I'm sure it was there before, but I just wasn't as attuned to it.
You're just paying attention to it now.
I wasn't. Yeah. And you're so tapped it's in. Like, wow, joy. You know, I even think of, you know, there's other words I guess I probably thought of before that, like even happiness or, you know, some of these other words. But what I really loved was the answer that came to me, resonated in my soul, and it's made a huge impact. The grounded gladness. Like, my definition of joy is grounded gladness. Cause you had that post that joy is, that image you had, joy is, oh, gladness, no matter the circumstance, that you have a sense of gladness, no matter what's happening. And Kelly, we talk so much about that on this podcast, that no matter what's happening in the world or what's happening in your life, that you can have a sense of joy. Because I think sometimes joy feels like too high for people, like that rocket of desire is too much to even think that you could achieve it or that you could get there or that you could attain that. So it's I'll just kind of drop my expectation a little lower than joy. Thanks. You know, speaking from experience, those other people, you know, anyways. But so just something like that, like my example, what I'm trying to say, my example is that having that one journal question and having that sense for me of when joy is grounded, it's so powerful, you know, that you kind of have the high vibration, but grounded with the groundedness together is extremely powerful. And so I've really been working with that. And just in my own sense and my own emotions. And when I do feel joy, you know, Kelly, we've talked about the overjoy and when you can kind of go overboard and that how that isn't healthy. So there's kind of like the overjoy and the joy and, you know, just having that journal question helped me experience that, helped me dive into that. It was like such a simple question, right? But I wasn't going to come up with it. So it's a very, very powerful program and I've experienced that. So I just kind of wanted to throw that in there.
No, I appreciate that. I would love to, this is not part of the plan, but how would you guys like to indulge me in a little sampling of conversations worth having for just a moment?
Yeah, okay.
So because this is typically how we do it. So it'll be like on a Zoom call. And also I'll have multiple people on. And so I'll just pose a question out and just let whoever wants to run with it go. And I don't require everybody to share if they don't want to. I want to create the space for whoever wants to share. So I'm just going to pose a question or two.
And let me ask you something really quick, Greg. When you do your guided vocal journaling, do people get the questions ahead of time, or is it typically spur of the moment?
Not with the program, no. With the conversations worth having, I will send the questions at the beginning of the week for you to journal on your own, because it's kind of that the combined self-work, group work type of thing. With the guided vocal journaling that's done individually, no. You basically come in, you show up, we have a theme that we're going to cover, so you know what theme, but you don't know what questions are going to be asked.
Cool.
Okay.
That's nice.
Okay. So here's my question for you guys.
That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Rapid fire. And since I actually think this question will resonate with Kelly, so I'm going to ask Kelly this question first. How do you make others smile?
Oh, well, through laughter, by being a smart ass, really and truly. I make people laugh through really trying to, honestly, my way of joking with people is by getting into what I know is fun to them. And then making fun of what's fun to them, in a sense. Do you know what I mean? Like playing off of their laughter, what they find fun. Making fun of myself. People really enjoy that, as do I. I never take myself too seriously. So I think it's comic relief for a lot of people that I don't take myself seriously. You know, I'm very carefree about that. And just by smiling sometimes if you just smile, people smile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know I do that in the grocery store. I mean, even with the mask, people can tell you, your eyes, you're smiling. And I love to make people smile. I really do. Even if I don't know who they are, I think it's vitally important on a daily basis for us to at least make one or two people smile.
Yeah.
So.
Love it.
And also Lucy, you know? She's dead asleep now, by the way.
Oh, that makes me smile.
An outburst.
Yeah. Yeah. She had to have her moment of glory.
She did.
Mic drop. I'm out.
Yes, exactly. Good. So yeah, that would be my on the spot answer for that question, Greg. Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. Very well done. Casey, how do you make others smile?
I even know this one for you.
You do. Oh, goodness. You know, I mean, definitely, I think a lot of it is with the groundedness, because when I'm grounded and centered in myself, then I can be in their world. You know what I mean? And by being in their world, it's kind of like what you said, Kelly, then you know what's arising or what might make them smile, or just a lightness. And I think as I've grown and deepened so much in my journey, my ability to be light and to have a lightness to my spirit, it's kind of like that emanation piece that we've talked about a lot, Kelly, where it just like radiates out from you. You know, it's that type of radiation that then it's just sort of, it's that contagion piece, right? Mm-hmm. So I think by being light and being contagious, you know, that might be part of the best explanation, which is why part of my intention in life is to make my radiance a priority. Because if my radiance is a priority and I'm doing that over here, then it can, I don't know, like catch on with others. And then they are just naturally radiant, and that they are able to have that arise in the space, you know, and then something perhaps arises that they weren't. I think when you're light, you're open, you're flowing, you know, you're allowing for that flow. And anytime you have the flow, I mean, when you feel light, you just smile, right? When you feel flow, you smile. When you're in the groove, you smile. So by being in that myself and then being a space and holding space for others to do so, it allows for that, you know? So I think that I'm discovering that that's really one of my favorite. It's almost like additional motivation. It's like, I feel so much better when I'm light and radiant. And then the fact that it could benefit other people is like, oh my God, this is like a triple bonus here. So yeah, I love too, just the ideas that can arise in that kind of space. whether it's for something you're collaborating on or whether it's for something just in their own life that they have an insight, that then they're like, whoa, like that light bulb goes off or something like that. I think that that's all part of that same energy. So yeah.
I like that answer. It wasn't what I was going to say.
Really? What were you going to say? We're going to cheat, Greg, and we're going to do like answer for someone else. Total cheat right now. Just it's fun.
I was going to say, like, one of the biggest ways that you do make people smile is you send them little notes in the mail.
Oh.
You know, letting them know that you think about them, like that silent way to make someone smile. You know, you don't even have to be present. It's like just sending them something that makes them know that you've been thinking about them, that you know, that you feel that they're powerful in this world and in this life. And
I'll second that.
Yeah, you know, and just
she's done that to me.
Exactly. It's just that it's that extra step of kindness that makes people smile, because I mean, fuck, look at the world. We've lost so much of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so when there's someone who can connect with that and suddenly you get it as a surprise, it's like, oh my gosh. How sweet, you know? Yeah. So that's what I was going to say about you.
Oh.
But the other shit's great too.
So I'm going to segue
about you, Greg?
A little bit.
Greg?
Well, what I want to do first is...
She wants you to answer.
That happens sometimes as people try to turn the tables. I'm the one asking the questions here. So you brought up the guided vocal journaling. So that is basically what we're doing here on a one-on-one basis. So imagine that everything that you said, both Casey and Kelly, that not only we're recording those, but then we transcribe your answers to text. Mm-hmm. And over the course of so many sessions, you're basically building a kind of a personal memoir of your spoken words that's written down. So I like to think of what I'm doing with this work is that you're writing with your voice. And so as you let your answers come out, and I literally see the body language change and you get light and you get excited about answering and sharing about yourself, because I think most people generally like to talk about themselves. Mm-hmm. To be able to capture that in a really meaningful way is really powerful. So to go back to the journaling piece, like for some people who struggle with writing in a book, I create a space for them to speak by answering questions, and that's how they journal. And so we can do an audio recording, which, you know, they'll get, but then also we transcribe it if they'd like. And after about an hour, it builds about 10 to 15 pages of transcript. So it's all your own words that you can just collect, use as kind of, you know, bind together. Some people have turned it into a book. There's a lot of things you can do with it, but I wanted to just show you that just in that little, just that one question with both of your answers being so vivid and so personal, to be able to capture that is really what is at the center of my work. It's to provide that space for you to speak openly, but then to give it back to you and say, look what you created. This is who you are. So,
yeah. Well, that's really powerful. Cause I don't think people, well, I mean, we know people do not realize how powerful they are in any situation. They really don't. I mean, that's something that I notice a lot of times in my own work, and people just do not understand how powerful their spirit is. And I think this is a beautiful piece of work that you do for people, Greg, to be able to bring that out and make them more clear on that.
So really what I'm trying to do with this work, with conversations worth having, my storyteller's piece of writing a book, like it, to me, it's not what we're trying to create. If it's a personal journal, if it's a memoir, if it's a book, if it's a screenplay, if it's a blog, like to me, the end destination is not what I'm concerned about.
Right.
It's the space that we're sharing together in connection and in dialogue. And so I talk about this a lot when I work with people individually, because I want this same energy and philosophy to be utilized, not just in our session, but for you to use with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with your family, with strangers, especially. So I really focus on what I like to think of are the four keys to consciously connecting. And so that's kind of what I'm teaching over the course of these sessions that I do with people. So it's attentive listening, respect, integrity, and loving kindness. And I think that that connection piece doesn't just pertain to when you're listening and speaking with someone, it's really what you're saying to yourself. So I think those four keys really need to start with how we treat ourselves, and are we listening to ourselves with attentive listening? Are we showing respect to ourselves, showing up with integrity? Are we being compassionate to ourselves? So that's really at the heart of all of this. And that's that contagious energy that is hopefully what is being spread.
Right. I mean, that what you just said is at the heart of absolutely everything you do in life. You know, how you relate to other people, how you relate to your work, how you relate to your animals, how you relate to the world in general is all going to be based off of how you're relating to yourself.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I mean, to bring people's attention to that is the most powerful thing you can do.
I mean, I do that with my kids, you know, when I'm talking to my oldest daughter, who she's having a rough day. Mm-hmm. I have to check in with myself. Am I listening attentively?
Right.
Am I giving her the respect that she deserves and needs?
Right. Yep.
Am I showing up with integrity? And am I being as compassionate and showing up with as much loving kindness as I can? I mean, that's just with her, but that applies to someone that I meet for the first time on a Zoom call. That applies to the grocery store. I mean, you can still do that for people who you just meet. I think that it's honestly, to me, that, and this goes back to that kid in middle school, you know, it's that ability to connect. And that's what makes us, I just think that joy, for me, it's about connection, but it's about a shared experience that we have with each other. You know, it can't just be individualized. It can't just be, you know, kept to ourselves. The more we share it, the more we can all enjoy. So to me, it starts with that connection piece, I believe.
Yeah.
But I love how so many of your practices are about reconnecting with yourself first and consistently, you know, because I mean, it goes back to Kelly, like our theme on self-love, right? It just reminds me so much of what we've been talking about these past couple of weeks, like starting within and then it can emanate outward. And it's kind of that, like, you know, if your cup isn't full, nothing is spilling out. And if it does, now your cup's empty, you know, it has to spill it over.
Totally.
So I love like the cyclical nature of your work, I guess I would call it, that it's constantly cycling between self and other and self and other and self and other to keep that flow, I guess.
Yep.
But you do have to make sure you're checking in with both so that you can be there and be present for others because you're present with yourself. So I love how your work kind of combines all of that.
Yeah. I mean, the cyclical piece too is great with questions, because a question that I ask you tonight, I could ask you that question in a month, in 6 months, in a year, and your answer will probably evolve each time because you're evolving.
Yeah.
We're all changing. We're all experiencing life in different ways. So how we respond to an answer today, that's us showing up in our truth today. Mm-hmm. But I could ask you that tomorrow and your experience may shift in 24 hours to where that question will be approached and responded to differently. So I like the fact that we could literally go through an entire year's worth of questions and not get the same question twice. But even if you did, I guarantee your answer will not be the same the first time around.
Yeah. No, there's no way.
So it's part of the evolution. It's part of the growth, the learning. Yeah.
I really like
you know, I think that part of this journaling and the way that you do this is powerful also in the sense that you are I don't know if you even know this, but you are retraining people's minds.
Oh, it's very much about strengthening mindset.
Yeah.
Like
you're retraining
that. Yeah.
And you call it mental immunity. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strengthening mental immunity is how I like to think of it. I like to think of, especially with the guided vocal journaling, as like going to the spiritual gym.
Yes.
Because it's like circuit training. You know, the rapid fire questions, you know, the theme, we could be talking about questions of joy, but then the next week we're talking about questions about overcoming grief. And then we're talking about acceptance. Then we're talking about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the more questions that we're asked And the more we switch from that subconscious way of thinking into conscious thinking or more mindful thinking, that is strengthening. That is, right. That is a rewiring happening as I'm watching you, you know? So that's the beauty of this work for me, is to be able to actually see the evolution and the growth and the learning happening right. before my eyes with people. Like when right. I ask a question and the person will stop and they look up and they'll be like, oh, that's a good question. And they just sit. Like yeah. I've had people reach out to me and say, how do you interview people? Like, what's the key? Like, what are the secrets to interviewing? And so I'll use that example of when you ask a question and the person is kind of looking up into the sky and they're like, shut the hell up. Like, right. don't say a word. Like, I literally uh-huh. just sit back and I let you just kind of sit with it, because I know what's going to be coming. That's you digging for that spiritual gold. And right. what comes out is authentic, mm-hmm. it's honest, it's truth. And yep. to be able to capture it for people is beautiful. So mm-hmm. I just think that strengthening of not just, you know, mindset, but it's also just, it's strengthening your heart. It's yep. it's kind of reestablishing your values and your beliefs and a faith in yourself. Because again, these questions are about you. They're about your experiences. They're about your life. They're about your truths. And mm-hmm. I think, again, people just, when they're asked a question that opens up a door like that, they go running right through. And so after an hour, we're like, you know, oh, time's up. They're like, really? No. You got more, right?
You know? Keep going.
Because it's like candy, you know, you want more. You feel good. It's like, you know, we're getting all those good juicy cocktails going, the oxytocin and the serotonin, you know, everything's flowing now because your brain feels good. Your body feels good talking about yourself. So,
well, and I think too, that, you know, since you're asking such in-depth questions, that then, you know, even if they're not in-depth, they then start to spread out into that sense. And what's happening is that people are actually getting into the groove of why they're even here. Mm-hmm. You know, what their purpose is here in this life, which is to really and truly get to know their self.
Yeah. And that to me is the central question. Like if someone were to say, what's your favorite question? Like the ultimate question that I could ask you is mm-hmm. who are you?
Right.
Who are you? And because I don't think that we really, most of us could really sit with that and answer that in full mm-hmm. faith and force because half of us are still struggling to determine who am I.
Exactly.
You know, we define ourselves by our job mm-hmm. or our, you know, this is what I do, not who you are. And so mm-hmm. this whole process is helping you define that and figure that out for yourself. Because I don't think about this as coaching. I'll have people say, oh, you, what kind of a coach are you? I'm like, I don't coach. Mm-hmm. I facilitate. I ask questions. You're doing the coaching.
Yeah, you're the
you're
coach
the ones
of yourself.
Creating
yeah.
the answers. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking the question.
Right.
So I'm guiding. I mean, I'm supporting. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. But I'm not feeding you the answers ahead of time. I don't even give you the questions ahead of time unless it's, you know, part of the group work. So to me, it's about showing up. I think of it as it's an investment in yourself, just as when you invest mm-hmm. in deciding to take a yoga class regularly, to meditate, to journal, to, you know, do anything that takes mindful presence and focus. This is to me just as essential as getting a massage, going to a chiropractor,
absolutely,
eating well, getting exercise. Like this to me is that spiritual mental strengthening mm-hmm. that, I can just see the transformation. It's like going to the gym, but actually seeing your muscles grow. I can see your energy transform.
Growing, right.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, if anyone who's listening, if you're not going to join in on this, or at least the, you know, the question conversation that you guys have on Zoom, I mean, I'd love to join it, but for some reason you always have the hours that I can't.
Well, I can do a
customized. Come on, Greg.
Oh my God. Then I deal with that. So we got to strengthen your mindset a little bit here, Kelly. No, so that's part of it. That's honestly, that's what I'm working towards. I honestly would do those calls 24/7 because I love hosting right. those groups because right. again, my job is easy. I'm just asking questions. I've already sent you 5 days ago.
Right.
Okay. Here's your question. Who'd like mm-hmm. to have at it? And then I get to sit back and just see the banter. I mean, there's tears, there's laughter, there's just the shared experience, the connection that happens.
Yeah, I want to be in on this.
Yeah. And just people coming in from, I've got, you know, people dialing in from Australia and Europe yep. and, you know, all corners of the world, because to me, it's about this community of conversation that's mm-hmm. happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun.
We'll get a time that I can show up.
Okay.
We'll work on that. And hey, Kelly, so we want to...
We'll just call it Kelly Hour. Instead of happy hour, it's going to be Kelly Hour.
Kelly Hour, you bet your ass.
Amen. We are currently working on a new membership option for this.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned. And in the next couple weeks, we'll be launching it. He's still doing the program and you can still tap into it, but we're making it even more... like more of a consistent membership item so that you can sign up for that and be a part of that and really engage with it. So that's yeah. a super, super exciting announcement. I know.
Well, that's really big.
Yes.
I think that for something like this, it just makes sense because it's something near and dear to my heart. But that if people really want to experience it, then I think that just like when you say, I'm going to go to the gym, you get a gym membership.
Right.
And so you have access to this, that, and the other to strengthen your body.
And you make that commitment, you know?
Yeah, so to me, it's about commitment. It's about showing up. Some people, you know, may not want to participate in the Zoom calls, that's fine, but you'll still get your questions each week. I do have a private Facebook group for conversations worth having, so there's interaction within the Facebook group. Mm-hmm. The Zoom call is something that I think most people who've done it will say that's the big kahuna. That's the piece that people love and they enjoy it. I've got people who, you know, I offer a couple of Zoom calls over the course of a week. They'll come on every single call because it's different people who hop on.
Exactly. And they want to see all the different perspectives and feed in on that. Yeah.
Totally.
I get it.
So it's a great way to meet people. It's mm-hmm. it's a great way to share. And like I said, it's easy for me because I just get to sit back and enjoy. So.
And I have to say, so we are also creating another membership option. Greg, I would love for you to kind of dive into a little bit how, you know, when you started with the Pillars of Joy and how that inspired you and just kind of dive into that a little bit, because we're going to create another option where Greg will put out some weekly content. It's another membership option because he has so much content that he's built over the years that he's taught with people, interacted with people, seen, you know, how it's allowed them to grow in their own inner joy. And so it's like he's sitting on this mountain of amazing information that's super impactful for people. And we're going to kind of feed it, like drip it out on a weekly basis. So there'll also be another membership. It's called Words of Joy. And I would just love for you to talk a little bit about, you know, some of where that's come from for you and where that started for you and just what some of that means and what, you know, you want to put out there to people so that they can continue to reflect and continue to grow in their own sense of inner joy and inner peace.
So thank you for bringing that up. When you talk about content that I've accumulated, like I literally have two computers here that are just filled with stuff that
you're not even sharing it with anybody right now. This is terrible. This is why we're fixing that.
It honestly gets to a point of just being, and I hate to say the word overwhelmed because when you say you're overwhelmed, you believe it. So I'm trying to just be like, I have, and I think I've told Casey this before, like it's like birthing children. So I have like these multitudes of kids that I've got just sitting waiting to be shared, but I just, like, what do I do with it all? You know? So we've come up with this idea of taking all this content, and it could just be in small little drips and drabs, like you said, but I'm thinking of doing it as little audio recordings. So I think of it as just kind of a go-to spot for maybe you just need like words of affirmation, some intentions, meditations. It could just be readings, things that are just, you know, very heartfelt and meaningful. So Words of Joy is really just going to be a collection of my audio recordings. It'll just be me speaking, taking a lot of this content and putting it out there to be listened to be shared, to be discussed. But I want to get it out. And I think that there's a lot of valuable information that that I think people would find useful. And so you brought up the pillars of joy. So that came about really at the onset of me creating Joyful Living. I had just made a transition from going from 20 years in massage therapy into this new field because I blew out both of my wrists and I had to retire and really just had this sense of like, what am I going to do? Yeah. What's my next phase? So the first thing I did after my second surgery and was just bandaged up and couldn't really do much, I just did a lot of self-reflective work. I did a lot of journaling just to do some deep soul searching as far as purpose and direction and all. But I felt compelled to do some reading because I just never made the time to read. And so the first book that I gravitated to is this book here. And it's the Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Tutu. Mm-hmm. And this book single-handedly changed my life because what these two men talk about here is they talk about joy as not just this ethereal idea. They see it as something that is real and it's tangible. And it's something that no matter what circumstance in life brings, they discuss being exiled out of Tibet, the struggles with apartheid in South Africa, 9/11, wars that we've been through, things that they've witnessed firsthand that just, you would just think, how can you possibly find joy in that? And they do. And what they came up with in their discussions with each other are what they call the 8 pillars of joy. Or as I like to think of them, these are the pathways to joy. And so these are 8 characteristics. They're 4 qualities of the heart and 4 qualities of the mind. And brought together, really, I just see it as a roadmap to finding your way back to joy, no matter what. And so part of these downloads that I'm hoping to do is to share each of those individually and talk about perspective, humility, humor, acceptance, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity, but go into more of a discussion about it and maybe ask some questions, you know, during the recordings that pertain to each of those. It's just something to self-reflect on. So that's just one piece of information that I think people would find useful, but also just a place to share. Because like you said, it's not doing any good sitting on my laptop.
Hell
so
no, it's not.
Yeah. So I think having an outlet for that would be great. Something easily accessible for people. You know, maybe it'll be a combination of audio, maybe some video. I could see maybe just some blog posts, you know, things that people could download and keep for themselves. But it would just be like a membership access only site that if you want content, we'll just continue to keep feeding it. We'll start adding things to it. But that's kind of the whole idea behind Words of Joy.
Well, I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's like a new playground. I love that. You know, just something to play and then people can interact with it and, you know, give feedback and, you know, we can kind of just keep building it and what's useful for people. But I do know, I mean, you've done so many like meetups over the years and you've really built a community that was, you know, is very engaged with what you teach and what you help them to embody. You know, it's meaningful for them because it allows them to actually embody the pillars and live those in daily life and live those in their relationships at their workplace, you know, and we do kind of need whatever our constant reminder is, whether it's journaling, whether it's listening to some audios every week that remind us, oh yeah, you know, I want to click back into coming more from that place instead of that place. Who am I? You know, it just allows us to stay on that journey. And so I think whatever people, you know, whatever calls them to tap into, it's just one more option. You know, especially now when you're not doing your physical meetups, you know, like you used to, it still gives an outlet for that for people to tap into, which I think is wonderful, you know, and then it can kind of feed and become its own thing. But I love it just being a playground for that, for people.
Yeah. And you know, so I did, when I started my work, it was very much about hosting workshops and little mini retreats. And so like, I was very much about, I wanted you to have something to take home with you that was practical, that like, you know, like the tools that you could use in everyday life. So something simple that I'll share with you all, and that your viewers and listeners could also take home with them. The way that I would teach the pillars is I would show people that you put your thumbs together and create like wings on a bird. So like wingspan. So you've got your right hand, which are your four. There you go, Kelly. You've got your four qualities of the mind, and then your four qualities of the heart on your left hand. And you know that's your heart because your left hand is closest to your heart. So that's how you remember that. And so I would do a guided meditation through each pillar, having people use their thumb as kind of the activator for each one. So when I have a struggle, or when I see something on the news, or I, you know, something is upsetting me, I almost instinctively now will start holding perspective. Am I looking at this from all angles? Right. Am I taking more of a God's eye view on this situation? Humility. Am I making this all about me? Am I, you know, do I need to show more humility with this situation? Humor, acceptance, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, generosity. So I will teach people how to remember the pillars as kind of that reminder. And for some people, they can go right to a specific one that they need the most, you know? So in, when I talk to people who are dealing with struggling relationships, you know, we'll go and we'll hold forgiveness, and we'll just meditate on that and focus on forgiving others, forgiving ourselves, and using that as just, again, it's kind of that RAIN acronym again of recognizing, accepting, investigating, and non-identification. So just as an example of just how to share that. So workshops and retreats in person was something that I just love to do. And, you know, once things settle down, I would love to do that again. But I think now, because we're just so limited to online, it can still be done. It's not quite as, you know, personal face-to-face. We're not in, you know, the mountains of Colorado or in Santa Fe or on the beaches of, you know, Cancun. But I think that we could still have a meaningful experience in sharing this information that I think people will find useful.
I think so too. And sometimes I think that even being at home sometimes can be more powerful because they're not being removed from their reality.
Sure.
To have,
they can apply it right where they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, they're not going to go home on a plane and then be like, oh fuck, here I am again. You know, instead they're like, fuck, I'm just here.
I'm still
you
here.
Know? I have to deal with it. You know what I mean? So
right.
Almost like, in a sense, all of this has made it so that, you know, I mean, by being in your own home and kind of being, having to be there, Casey and I have talked about this a number of times. It's making you have to really hone in. You know, there's no excuse. There's no exit. Like, you're just here. And you have to really come into connection with the fact that you're just here. So I think having those experiences with people being at home is even more powerful than if you were to go to Cancun. And maybe, and down the road when they can and they can escape, it's going to be that much more.
It's going to be that much more powerful.
Yes.
And that's something that I think people will, you know, they're craving it. I think people want to get out and have true FaceTime with people.
Yes.
But I like how you talk about just the practicality of using it where you are.
Yeah.
Because I think that people misconstrue this idea of being mindful or a mindfulness practice of being relegated to a yoga studio, meditation center. You know, it has to be about the location in order for me to be in that space.
Right.
And I think that so much of what you said is true, that you can be mindful washing the dishes.
Yes.
You can be mindful doing laundry. You can be mindful sitting in your own crap, you know, of just misery.
The most mindful time of the day I have is picking up horse shit.
Yeah.
It's true.
So true.
I think we've tapped into a whole new program. Okay.
She's going to invite people to shovel shit.
Yeah, I mean, anytime people want to come shovel shit and just shut up, get your rake, fucking think about what I tell you to think about, and just do it.
I think we have our next retreat.
Yeah.
Hey, yes, exactly. We have a location
at the Coulson household shoveling horse shit. I don't think there's anything better in combing horses, right? I mean, can you imagine? People are going to be like, oh my God, am I going to get kicked? And I'll say, just center in, calm down. Greg, you can lead. I mean, it'll be great. I think it's a perfect thing.
I think to kind of piggyback on that, one of my other pieces of work that I do that Casey and I haven't really spent a ton of time talking about, but I'm sure she's aware of, is my healing nature work, which is centered around the philosophy of Japanese forest bathing.
Yes.
Which I just have to tell people, it's not being outside.
We're
naked.
Not bathing.
Yeah. It's not literal bathing, but it is bathing in the sense that you're immersing yourself in nature and tapping in with your senses and just having a different experience when you're outside. And it's not about being in a forest. You can have that same experience in your backyard, at a local park.
You bet.
You can go up into the foothills and experience it. So part of my work is taking people outside. And to go back to journaling, I actually encourage people when you journal to go outside.
Yes.
Because I think that the expansiveness of being in nature does something to you psychologically, that it changes the quality of your answers. Because I think that there's something about being like when you're in a confined space and you're trying to, you know, be open. Okay, what are the answers to these questions? I would challenge anyone to journal inside and then go outside and see which feels different. So that's part of my work is when we do healing nature work and we go through the exercises of traditional forest bathing, that I actually do have journaling exercises when we're out. So we'll stop, we'll find a sit spot, as I call it, and I'll ask questions and I'll have journal books for people to bring and we'll do some guided journaling outside. Yeah. So that's just another piece that, again, I show people that it doesn't have to be just in the time that we're together. Like I talk to families all the time. They're like, oh, I can't deal with these kids. I don't know what to do. I'm like, take them out, go outside, spend time in nature, ask them questions, sit together and just connect. And I guarantee you will have just a completely different understanding of what it means to parent because your kids will be different. You'll be different outside.
And I think too, to feed off of that is, you know, the reason why we feel so connected and so open when we're outside and in the presence of the earth, literally, and not inside confined by the walls that were made by man, is because our human bodies, our bodies are made from the earth. You know, we are every element of the earth. So we can go out there and we're able to breathe out there and we're able to connect out there. And also, you know, you have the open heavens, you have the gods, you have everything available to you. And so it's just it's like you're being hugged when you're outside and everybody feels a little bit more available when they are outside as opposed to when they are inside. So I'm not surprised that people's journaling becomes more intense when they are outdoors.
Totally.
You know, you can just connect so much more because you are from the earth.
Right.
So this leads me to a question I wanted to ask you because I know you're doing a whole entire thing for authors. Okay. And I myself am an author. I do children's books, spiritual children's books.
Nice.
But I want to move into kind of like the self-help books. Moving into that space. So I'm asking for myself as well as other friends that I know that are looking, many people. I mean, I don't know one person who isn't like, oh, I'd love to write a book.
Right.
Right. So what do you say in terms of organizing? Because everybody always has the thoughts, right? We have a thousand of them. Like, oh, I have all this shit I'm putting on a page, but I have no idea how to organize it and make it into an actual book. So talk to me a little bit about how you would organize. You don't have to go super in depth because I want people to actually like connect with you to go in depth.
Yeah.
Including myself. But just kind of like, you know, just a broad perspective of how you would organize that.
So I'm smiling because the way you describe that typical person who wants to write a book, who has a story to tell, but they're just like a million ideas and thoughts and things that are running around. That's what I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. So my job, in the similar fashion as I use the guided vocal journaling, where we meet on Zoom and I ask you questions, I'm asking you questions about a book that I'm going to pretend exists, but it's not written yet.
Right.
I'm going to pull the details and take all of what it is that's floating around up there, and we're going to capture it. We're going to put it down. We're going to memorialize it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be organized. That can come later. We're just going to get it all out. That is my job. Mm-hmm. My job is not to help you write your book. My job is to help you bring your book to life, okay, and to almost in a way birth it by talking about it. Because I think for a lot of people, I'm like you. I mean, people talk to me all the time. Like, people have been telling me for years I should write a book.
Yeah.
But they don't do it because they either don't make the time, they don't believe that anyone wants to hear what they have to say, and they're scattered, and they're just like, mm-hmm, I'm never going to get, they see the book as being like this far away fantasy thing, mm-hmm, that I'll never do.
Right.
And what I say to people is that the minute that we start and you start talking about this idea, it could just be a concept. It doesn't have to have an ending. It doesn't even have to have a whole message behind it. It could just be just a way for you to take all of what's rummaging around up here and putting it out there.
Right.
I'm about capturing that energy. Mm-hmm. And so we record. I ask you questions about it. I transcribe it. And so over the course of, again, multiple recordings and multiple downloads of you getting it all out, I mean, I've got a gal who's on her 16th recording. Ooh. And she's literally downloading probably 4 different books right now. But,
wow.
And she's going to have work to do to go through the transcripts. But I have people that can help you disseminate and organize what it is that you've created. Because you've created those transcripts. Those are your words, as if you were to sit at the computer and type it out. Again, you're using your voice to write. Mm-hmm. So we're doing some accelerated writing for you. I like to think of it as we're kind of making a rough first draft in some ways, but I also think of it as we're creating puzzle pieces. So things that are going to be captured, you're going to be able to go back. We're not publishing it. The transcripts are like your journal. Those are yours. That's for you to go through and be like, oh my God, what was I saying here? But that's for you to decide, okay, this can go here. Yeah. This makes sense over here. We start putting the puzzle pieces together. I then have people who I can refer you to help book edit. I even have ghostwriters I could refer who can help you kind of develop the writing piece, because eventually you're going to have to build it into a manuscript.
Right.
Once that's done, then I've got people that can take it from cover design, formatting, the actual self-publishing angle to getting it on Amazon. I mean, literally it's like an 8-step process. Yeah. But what's great about it is that I can show you that. You're not required to have to follow that. If you know somebody who can do book editing, perfect. Take your transcripts and go use them. The people that I have are there just as my own personal referrals. There's nothing in it for me. It's more to help you move your story along the process. My work with you is about getting it captured. And then where you go from there is all on you. So I like to think of what I'm doing as just getting the creative process started, making it come to life, and capturing all of that in a more concise, organized manner. Because once you see it, once you see your words written down, that's when you start believing this shit is real. I mean, I tell people, the minute we start recording, you are writing your book. So you can start telling people, I'm beginning that book.
Yeah.
Because your words, your voice is writing.
And that's huge for a lot of people because, you know, it's the whole process of trying to start it that is so difficult. And also you hit on a key point, and I want you to kind of address the whole entire audience that is looking to write a book. What do you say to those who would like to write a book and don't believe that their story, anybody wants to hear it?
Right.
Like they just don't believe it's worth a shit. So I want you to kind of talk on that.
That takes us back to really the foundation of the work that I do, because I think the secret sauce is because I've had people say, well, couldn't I just take this idea for a book and just talk into a microphone? and transcribe it myself. I'm like, sure, go for it. Guarantee you it's not going to be the same,
right,
as in the shared experience of being connected and being listened to and the space that's created in this dialogue. Mm-hmm. So what I say to people is that what I bring to the table is that, again, we go back to those four pillars of connection. I'm fully attentively listening to your story because it matters to me. I'm respectful, I'm showing up with integrity, and I'm going to be ultra compassionate to whatever it is you have to say. And in some cases, people are really diving deep into, you know, if they've got a pretty deep story.
Right.
So that energy of connection for people is part of that mental strengthening of them now saying, this does matter. I've got a story that can help people. I've literally done a recording with someone who we did a single recording. She's like, let me just try it. Let me just do it. I have no interest in writing a book, but let me just get this out. And it was so emotional. It was it was incredible. And when we finished and I hit stop, we were still on camera. And she's just like, she's looking at me with just tears in her eyes. And I'm like, are you okay? And she, I'll never forget, she looked at me and she's like, do you think people would want to hear this? And I was just like, yeah. And it like, it was like a light bulb went off in her as she was speaking it, like going, this can help people. I went through this so I can help people, right. You know? So she figured out her lesson. Yeah. And so to me, I would say to people, just try, just let's just do one recording. Let's talk about this idea for a book or a blog or a screenplay or whatever it is that you're thinking of creating that you seem to not feel like there's not an audience out there.
Right.
I will guarantee you
there's an audience.
That there is an audience that wants to hear it. Yeah. So that's part of, again, the mental strengthening that's going on, even in the book writing process for people.
Yeah. Right. I love the context of partnership that creates, you know, that, like you said, you could just record it yourself, you know, but it doesn't have that space. And sometimes it does, you know, that connection piece and having someone like literally draw it out of you.
It's also an accountability partner, you know, like when you know that you've got a session, a recording session, because that's what they are. We're doing a recording session for your book every Tuesday at 9 a.m.
Yeah,
right. It's like, I better freaking show up and be prepared to to talk. So with every recording session that I offer for the book writing, a planning and strategy call comes before that. So we can do that either the day before or a couple days before. So that's not recorded, but that's just us meeting for about 20, 30 minutes or so to be like, what do you want to cover over the next recording?
Right.
And so you'll come in with either some notes and some things that you've been thinking about, and I'm going to start making notes of my own because I'm going to be creating questions to ask you in that recording session. So I'm going to know what we're going to cover, but you don't know what I'm going to ask you. And so as you're talking about a certain piece of your story, I'll have some questions as kind of my guide to move us along. But I would say every time. You'll say something that has nothing to do with what I've written because it was so insightful, but you continue talking about something else. And I make a little note and I'll be like, Kelly, you mentioned something about da 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 da. Can we explore that a little bit more? So that's the piece again, Casey, where like if you're doing it by yourself, you wouldn't have had that second voice to challenge you to say, let's explore this rabbit hole. Where does this take us? So that's part of, again, I'm trying to create some density and color and vividness to your story that you're kind of seeing it like this, and I'm trying to look at it like this, you know? And so my questions are going to be done in a way to explore more, to dig more, to challenge you, to share more, but done in a very authentic way that it's not uncomfortable. It gets you excited because you're like, oh yeah. So there was this and da, 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 da. And then I just sit back and just let you talk. Cause again, I'm just watching your words go across the screen.
Right.
So that's the part too. It's the partnership piece exactly, but it's also accountability and it's creating that space that, that gives you that safety of sharing.
Yeah.
It's fun. I love it.
Well, I'm interested. So how much would that cost me?
So the storyteller's work, because there's more involved in terms of planning sessions and things like that, those are transcribed. So I do, you know, I pay for transcriptions. I have a team of proof editors who mm-hmm. will take a rough transcript. They'll take out all the you knows, the ums and all that, and they'll make it into a seamless transcript for you.
Right.
So a single recording, if we just did one, is mm-hmm. $295. Okay. And that covers a planning call plus the recording.
And how
the
long are those calls?
I book out 90 minutes, but there's okay. the recording session itself is about an hour or okay. so. But generally, one recording is probably not enough for most people. So I have packages, and it keeps going down based on however many you want to do. And I do payment plans. I have, you know, whatever it does to make it works. But mm-hmm. it's more about most people who are doing a book. I would say if it's something kind of small, 3 to 4 recordings is good. Because that's going to give us anywhere from 35 to 50 pages of transcripts. If we're talking like a decent sized book.
Yeah, I'm talking generally like a book.
Okay, then I would say generally 5 to 7 is pretty good. Because right. then we're yeah. looking at like, you know, close to, you know, I'd say 50, 60 to close to 100 pages.
Right. Well, definitely 100 pages. Why the hell would I ever do less?
He's got a lot to say.
Well, the way you talk, I have no doubt we'll hit that sucker. I might get one question in.
And then just, some, right?
Just let it.
I know, right? It'll be like 300 fucking pages and people will be like, what?
You'll be like, done. Print it.
All right.
Send it to the editor.
Just send it to me when it's done, okay? We're done now.
When's the book tour?
Well, and I think this is a perfect time, Greg, for you to mention your discovery calls.
Yes.
And that people can tap into that.
Yeah. So I love to meet people. I love to answer questions about my work because I know we've covered quite a bit of ground here. But I offer a 30 to 45 minute. It sometimes goes longer the way I talk. But people can just reach out to me through email. We can just share that. I'm even fine if you want to just provide my cell number. And it's really, if you have a story to keep, then we would talk about the guided vocal journaling. If you've got a story to share, then we could talk about storytellers. If you're interested in a workshop, if you're interested in retreats, if you're interested in whatever, it would be a joy to talk about it. Because as you can tell, I like talking about what I do.
So. Yeah, well, as you should, you know, passion. Well, I'm very impressed with you, Greg. You know, and just to let all the viewers know, I didn't know Greg. I've never been involved in a call with Greg. So this was new to me too, as we were all sitting here together, and I'm very impressed and I like everything that you're saying. Actually, I don't like it. I love it. And, I mean, I think, first of all, you need to make it so that I can make a call. Okay, your questionnaire thing, I need to be in on this.
Okay.
And then, of course, I'm going to sign up for the author thing because, I have so much to say.
It's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah. And so let's, I think that's it for me. Casey, do you have anything else further that you'd like to ask Greg about?
No, not at all. I just wanted to say, you know, when we were thinking of Kelly, we've been talking for a couple months of who do we mm-hmm. want to have on the show as special guests, you know? And Greg just immediately came to mind because I love part of it. He explores a lot of the same themes that you do, but he has different languaging for it. And he has a lot of different like practical grounded approaches mm-hmm. to actually integrate that into your life. You know, sometimes Kelly and I are a little bit up in the clouds. So I love that, you know, that we kind of, it's some of the same things, but it really brings just a lot of freshness to what we've been talking about. So I just thought, we totally have to have him on. And I was so excited for the two of you to meet. So
we're
so grateful you came on the show tonight. Thank you so much. Our viewers are going to love this. And there's just a little bit of something for everyone, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm super excited to hear the feedback.
Well, I had an absolute ball and I didn't even need any alcohol. So that just speaks to the fact that you two just bring the energy and the excitement that I don't need any stimulants. You guys are it.
That's right, right? That's you bet your ass.
You bet your ass. No, this was incredibly fun, and I appreciate both of you so much. Thank you.
Well, Greg, thank you. I mean, you were an absolute joy, as you have even behind your head. You were a complete joy. I absolutely loved every moment of this. I'm going to listen to it again. I'm going to actually advise that a lot of my clients listen to this, because I think the journaling will be very beneficial for them. So
it's a great place
to
start.
Yes.
It really is a great place to start. You know, if you're just needing to just, you know, a lot of people will say, I don't even know where to begin. There's so many outlets out there. There's so many different paths that people can take. I think that just sometimes just sitting with a good question can be a great place to start.
Well, and I think it's the beauty of getting to know yourself, and that allows for that. And so
totally.
I bless that in so many different ways. So thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Casey.
Yes, thank you. And thank you everyone for tuning in to the Embodiment of Soul Care podcast. We're signing off for now. Remember, who you are is the love and the light within, no matter what's happening in your life or in the world around you. We love you, and good night, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever it is where you are. Thank you.
Take care.